He has no need, like those high priests in the Old Testament, to offer sacrifices daily. First for his own sin, because high priest was guilty of sin too, and then for the sins of the people. Why? Since he did this, how many times?
Once.
For who? All. That means you. Why is this so important? Because you can have confidence that you can get what you need from God and what you desire from God, because there's no judgment on you, because Jesus was judged on the cross for all your sins, past, present, and future. So you're free with no condemnation, and you can have confidence toward God, because when your heart doesn't condemn you, you've got confidence toward God to get your healing, to get your victory, to get your finances, whatever you need from God. There's nothing that's stopping God from blessing you.
Welcome to the Living by Grace podcast with Al Jennings. When you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life. Listen in as he discusses the effortless life of God's grace.
The Lord knows what we need, when we need it. And you're at the right place at the right time, y'all. I heard a familiar amen, and that was, I said, that sounded like Greg Ganaway. And I looked around, and it sure was a Greg Ganaway sitting around. Yeah, I recognize that amen. Amen. God has great plans for you, Greg. The best for your life. The rest of your life is the best of your life. The gifts and callings of God and without repentance. And God wants you to know that you're valuable in the kingdom of God. And he's got great plans and is going to use you in a significant way. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to dive right into it. I want to go to work. I got a lot to share. And y'all cut my time. No, everything that happened meant to happen. And we just let the Spirit of God just move. All right. So don't think I'm going to cut my time short, though. No, I'm going to be briefer than normal, amen, because I can't wear this ugly sweater too long. And I want to, Carla brought this back from somewhere, Marshall's off, she grabbed it off the clearance rack or somewhere. And so thank God that we are forgiven, amen, and the Lord will forgive us for wearing these ugly sweaters. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So I want to talk today about blood-based forgiveness. And I'm just going to get right into it. This is not a teaching on 1 John 1:9. I've got a lot of teaching on that and just... go look it up somewhere. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That scripture is not for the believer. It's written to the unbeliever, okay? And I'm just going to leave that there. I've got teaching on that. I want to approach forgiveness from another angle today to help you to really grasp the fact that your sins were forgiven on the cross, past, present, and future. I want you to settle that and be convinced of it, all right? I feel sorry for people who think they know everything in the Bible, because I tell you what, there's just so much to learn. And in studying this, I learned some other stuff. I'm going to say some things I've never said before. Amen. I just love how the Word of God just is so rich. Well, let's just jump into Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 19. Going back to the law, everybody say, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Now, under the law, when the commandment was declared by Moses, verse 19, for when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people. He took the blood of calves. If you've read this before, read it like you never read it, because I think we missed this. And we skim over some verses. Hebrews is deep, y'all. Amen. And so when Moses delivered these commandments to how many of the people? All the people. He took the what? The blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop. And he sprinkled both the book, the scroll of the commandments, and he sprinkled not just the scroll, but the people. How many of the people? All the people. I mean, that's a church service that I would want to be a part of. Huh? I mean, it's messy. Can you imagine that? He's going around sprinkling the blood on all those people. There's no insignificant details in the Bible. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. God is establishing something. And the blood of animals was a type of Jesus. That's there to show us Jesus. The things, the Bible tells us in the New Covenant that the things in the Old Covenant were written for our learning. Okay? This bloody, messy system was established for a reason. It shows us that God operates on a blood-based economy. It's not an apology-based economy. See, now, when you go to the store, and this is universal, okay? If you want a loaf of bread, if you want some milk, you want some coffee, you want some chicken, you put whatever you want in the cart, and you get up to the register, whether you self-checkout or you got somebody helping you. What are you going to use to carry that stuff out the store? What do you got to give the cashier or put in that machine, whether it be a credit card, a debit card, you put in the self-checkout machine? you got to put in money. Huh? Or you can't leave the store. Now, you can try to steal or whatever, but I'm saying for honest people, right? We're in a money-based economy, right? Now, in the world of forgiveness, we're celebrating this Christmas season, praise God, and Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. When John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Okay? Now, somehow we've attached, through religion, we've attached this past sin thing to it. But don't realize, most of the church world don't realize that on the cross, Jesus took our sins past, present, and future. In the world of forgiveness, God operates not on an apology-based economy, but a blood-based economy. And for people to think that we got to confess every sin to be forgiven, according to 1 John, it's the only verse that even remotely says to confess our sins to be forgiven. And we've hobby-horsed that verse, thinking it applies to the believer, and it doesn't. And that's very important to understand, because if that's for the believer, see, now your memory is involved. Because what if you forgot one? And I taught for years, if you sin, now you don't lose your relationship with God, but your fellowship is broken. Until you do what? Some of y'all heard me teach that, see? But I was wrong, because we're growing, see, right? And I discovered I was wrong about that. Because what if you forget one? Your fellowship is broken. Based on that principle, your fellowship is broken. And until you confess it, but if you forgot that you did it, you're in trouble. That doesn't make sense. God's got us covered better than that. It's not based on our memory. It's not based on our apology. It's based on blood. It's always based on blood. In the old covenant, it wasn't their apology that got them forgiven. It wasn't until blood was shed. I'm going to drop some stuff on you, boy. You might want to run around here today because I'm going to approach it from a different angle. I'm seeing some things different that just establishes this and gets us more established in this. You think that's insignificant that God would have Moses sprinkle all them people, sprinkle the church with blood? Huh? Like, man, mess it, get on your mouth. Get on your teeth. You better have your mouth closed. Huh? Rain suit on or something. But God did that for a reason, to show us that he operates on a blood-based economy. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It's the blood that forgives us. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 25. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly. Now, I want you to look at this closely. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, referring to Jesus, as the high priest. Now, it's contrasting the Old Testament high priest, who is a type of Jesus, and he would have to go in. He did it once a year on the Day of Atonement, and that gives him 365 days of forgiveness. And then the priest would go in daily, as we're going to see. Okay? Why? Because it's only good. See, you keep sinning under the old covenant. See, Jesus had not shed his blood yet, so they sin on a continuous basis, and so blood was shed by the animals. The high priest would offer sacrifices for sins on a daily basis, because they would sin on a daily basis. Okay, stay with me. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, oh, praise God, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, most of the church world teach that you have to confess your sins repeatedly. You have to be forgiven day by day, little by little. That's incorrect. See, because Jesus isn't dying daily. It was once for all. So if only our past sins were forgiven, then Jesus would have to die again. And he ain't dying no more. And he ain't shedding no more blood. Your sins on the cross, let me repeat, were forgiven past, present, and future. If they were only forgiven for your past sins, that's just like the Old Testament high priest. And that's why he had to keep going in daily to offer sacrifices, because the sacrifice he offered yesterday were only good for yesterday's sins. He's got to go in there repeatedly, see? And go back to verse 25. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood not his own. For then, Jesus would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. He would have to keep going and offering a sacrifice for the sins you did today, and the sins you do tomorrow. He had to keep dying, but he ain't dying no more, because on the cross, he forgave your sins past, present, and future. That's why he ain't got to die no more and shed no more blood, because his blood was enough on the cross to forgive all your sins, past, present, and future. Think about that. Now, I had to meditate on that a lot. Think about that. Look at verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, said Christ, having been offered once, say what? Once to bear the sins of many, that's us, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, because sin has already been dealt with on the cross, because he took our sins, he became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He's coming back the second time, not to deal with sin, because he already dealt with it through his finished work on the cross. He dealt with it, past, present, and future. Say, he has no need. That's scriptural. Look at verse 27 in chapter 7. Say it again. Say, he has no need. He has no need, like those high priests in the Old Testament, to offer sacrifices daily. First for his own sin, because high priest was guilty of sin too, and then for the sins of the people. Why? Since he did this how many times? Once. For who? All. That means you. Why is this so important? Because you can receive, you can have confidence that you can get what you need from God and what you desire from God, because there's no judgment on you, because Jesus was judged on the cross for all your sins, past, present, and future. So you're free with no condemnation, and you can have confidence toward God, because when your heart doesn't condemn you, you've got confidence toward God to get your healing, to get your victory, to get your finances, whatever you need from God. There's nothing that's stopping God from blessing you. Just think about the significance of this. And if we think that, if we think about the high priest in the Old Testament going into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement with the blood of what? Animals. And it give them 365 days of forgiveness. And we believe that. That means that covered them for a whole year. Not the apology, but the blood. And now, not to believe that Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, don't give us a lifetime of forgiveness, then we're saying that the blood of animals in the Old Testament was more powerful than Jesus' blood. That gave him 365 days, the blood of animals. Jesus, one sacrifice, good for all time. Believe it. All that's left for us to do is believe it. He did this. He doesn't. I'm going to read it again. It's so good. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus isn't dying daily, so we aren't being forgiven daily, little by little. Oh, I did this wrong, and so, okay, I sinned. I need to confess it in order to be forgiven. No, you've already been forgiven. Now, should you be sorry? Yeah. You should be sorry for your sins. We'll deal with that. I want to deal with that part because people get bothered and they think, well, you just go on sinning like crazy and be happy about it. No, you're not happy when you sin. But we'll deal with that in a second. Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's why the high priest had to keep on going in there daily and year after year. Verse 11 says, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 2 of the same chapter says, otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? See, if the blood of animals could take away sins, it would stop. Right? If it took away their sins forever, it would stop. Watch this. Since otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Since the worshipers, having once, that's what it sounds like what Jesus did, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. See? And see, this implies that if Jesus was like those high priests, and if Jesus' blood didn't take away sins, then he would have to keep offering. But he don't, because it was a finished work. He doesn't have to keep offering a sacrifice for our sins because his blood was better than the blood of animals. It was the ultimate sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. Amen. It was a total takeaway that never had been accomplished before. Now, sometimes a Protestant, what is a Protestant? Protestant is a basically a non-Catholic believer. All right, so let's look at the Catholics and the Protestants. Okay, we would be considered Protestant, okay, unless you're Catholic. Now, sometime the non-Catholic believers, Protestants, kind of laugh at the Catholics for going in and confessing to a priest. And they go in and they feel like that they're forgiven. Now, I know we are not supposed to go and go to some man or anything like that. And nor do we ask for forgiveness because we've already been forgiven. Now, to some people, that just sounds crazy. But let's just look at the Catholics for a moment. And they go in and they offer whatever they do, go into the booth or whatever and confess their sins to a priest. And they feel like that they're forgiven till the next time. They go in maybe a week or 2 weeks or whatever. And non-Catholic believers laugh at that. Some of us laugh at that. But yet, I'm not going to include myself in that. I don't laugh at it. But there are people who laugh at it. Now, but believers do the same thing. Non-Catholic believers do actually even worse by asking for forgiveness daily. Even though they're not doing it to a man, they're asking God to forgive them just in case. Maybe they forgot. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. But all your sins have already been forgiven. That's what I'm going to impress upon you now. See, it doesn't matter whether you go to a human priest or directly to God to get forgiven progressively, little by little. The point is that Jesus doesn't dole out forgiveness on a one-by-one basis. Jaira, come on up here, even though you got ugly sweater, it might mess with the camera. It may be a bad person to have come up here. He's not a bad person, but look at you all nimble and you come up here with this sweater. Okay, I finally got somebody up here with a sweater uglier than me. Okay, let's say I give you this Bible. All right. Now, I have given him this Bible. Now, let's look at that like forgiveness. Now, some people, and I've heard it said, well, I know that I received the fact that Jesus forgave my sins, past, present, and future, but I just like to ask. Well, why? Because it's a habit, really. I just like to ask. But why are you asking? Once you have the revelation, why would you do that? Like, ask me for my Bible.
Let me have your Bible.
He's had it for weeks, let's say. I want you to daily ask me for this Bible.
Can I have your Bible? Let me have your Bible.
Imagine this day in, day out. After the point, it'd be kind of annoying for me. I'm really, well, you think it's kind of, well, you know, I just kind of like to do it. It's really insulting to the blood of Jesus. All right, don't ask me no more. So, all right. What if you forgot a sin? It's not your memory, not your many words of apology that makes you forgiven. Remember, there's no shedding of blood in those moments. Only blood brings forgiveness. We're in a blood-based economy. When it comes to forgiveness, it's the one time, say one time, it's the one time sacrifice of Jesus that made us forgiven. And it's finished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It's over. You are a totally forgiven person. Amen. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. Which basically means it's helasmos. In the Greek, the word propitiation is helasmos, which means a sin offering. It's also translated mercy seat in Hebrews 9:5. It's the same word for mercy seat. That's awesome. Because what was the mercy seat? The mercy seat, see, all those things, all the whole system of the tabernacle was a type of Jesus. I love talking about the mercy seat. Let me give it to you quickly. The mercy seat, it's really not a seat. It's like a lid. I don't know why it's called a seat, but it is the mercy seat, but it's a lid that sits on top of this the Ark of the Covenant. Inside, let's just deal with the lid. On top of it is two angels with their eyes facing down. The angels are on opposite sides. Their wings are touched together. It's one piece of solid gold. And their eyes are looking down. Now, their eyes represent God's eyes. And this covers the Ark of the Covenant. Inside are three items. It is the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot of manna. The Ten Commandments on the inside, say on the inside. The Ten Commandments represented sin. The Ten Commandments represented, the Ten Commandments were not sin, let me be clear. But those Ten Commandments inside represented man's rebellion against God's law. The golden pot of manna represented man's rebellion against God's provision when he fed him with manna in the wilderness. Aaron's rod that budded represented man's rebellion against God's authority. Those three items represented man's sin inside the Ark of the Covenant. The lid was on top. The high priest sprinkled the blood on top of the mercy seat. Sprinkled it on the mercy seat. The angel's eyes represented God's eyes. And God's eyes not looking, peeking inside. The angel's not peeking inside. The lid is closed. Their eyes, what do they see, class? The blood. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is the mercy seat. So God don't see your sin when you sin. All he sees is not the blood of animals. He sees the blood of Jesus, who took away the sins of the world. Woo! Glory to God. I'm preaching myself happy today. Now, jot these scriptures down. We don't have time because y'all took my time. But watch this. Here's four scriptures for your consideration. Passages in the New Testament that discuss forgiveness, express it in the past tense. Hebrews 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So your forgiveness is complete. Colossians 2:13, last part of that verse says, having forgiven us, said he made us alive together with him. God made alive together with him. Having forgiven us all our trespasses. And religion has attached a meaning to this, only your past sins. But the New Testament states it in the past tense. Okay, listen carefully, because I'm going to ask you a question in a moment. Hebrews 10:18 says, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. 1 John 2:12, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. For his name's sake. Now, what about being sorry? And then, okay, expressing sorrow when you sin, listen carefully. Expressing sorrow for your sin is normal and expected. So what do you do when you sin? Stop, drop, and roll. Also works in a fire. Turn from it. Act differently. If you wrong somebody, go make it right with them. I'm going to quote you a verse here. Now I want you to tell me if you know what book it's in. Listen. And all my people, ask forgiveness of your Lord, then turn unto him repentant. I don't know how to pronounce that. He will cause the sky to rain abundance on you and will add unto you strength to your strength. Turn not away guilty. You know what book that's in? The Quran. But asking for forgiveness is nowhere in the New Testament epistles. You will not find. Do a search. Check me out on it. I did a search for ask forgiveness or ask for forgiveness. It is found nowhere. Not one verse in the epistles. It's in the Quran several times. But it's not in the New Covenant epistles. Think about that. I never thought about that. Ask forgiveness. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. Think about that. How many people think that they have to ask for forgiveness to be forgiven, and it is nowhere, not even one verse, in all the epistles? And the only thing that makes sense to people argue about 1 John 1:9 is because they've been conditioned that way and taught that way for so long. They're just unable, or not, they're able, but not willing to receive it. See, I know y'all thinking, it's good to think in church. With God, we don't have to ask God to forgive us. Our confidence, say confidence. Our confidence is in the once for all sacrifice. And what do? We just thank him that we're forgiven. We're in a blood-based economy, not apology-based when it comes to God. One of my guys, I mean, I don't know him personally, but Draymond Green is all in the news. I'm a big Golden State Warrior fan, and, you know, he's had a little bit of a history of stomping on people, and his foot just gets in the way of people's chest, and he's choking somebody here recently, and I'm usually to his defense. I mean, you know, Draymond, he's good. You know, he's defending his guy, Clay. Okay, that's why he choked the guy. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then this time, he said, well, he clocked this guy, and he was wailing after he thought the guy fouled him, and he said he didn't intend to do it. And he just turned around, and he clocked the guy. And I'm saying, okay, all right, Draymond. You need some help, boy. You just need a little help. You're a good dude, but, you know, I love Draymond. You want him in your foxhole, okay? He gonna be there for you. But what people are looking for is, okay, apologize. Just admit it that you done it. Just stop with all that. It's just happening with you. This is not the first time. You're hurting your team. Apologize, man. You my guy. I love you. See? But people tend to equate God with humans. See, we want people to apologize. And human to human, yeah. And a few tears would help. If I could see a little tear. You know, huh? See, we want that. But see, God doesn't operate like that. Because somebody challenged me, a friend of mine actually, on the 1 John 1:9, and he said, well, wouldn't you ask your wife to forgive you? Well, yeah, but she didn't take my sins. She didn't forgive me past, present, and future. She still remembers stuff I did. And we didn't think God is like that. See, you always do that. Now, y'all don't do that. But see, you always doing that. You say to your spouse, you know. No, y'all don't do that. But you know people like that. Why are you always doing that? Same thing last year. Now you're doing it again. Humans remember. God does not. The Psalm says, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Yes, of course, we should make it right with people. Apologize. But we tend to think, we throw that off on God and think God is like that. God doesn't operate like that. God issues forgiveness based on one type of currency, blood. And the requirement for our forgiveness and cleansing from God has already been met on the cross. There's nothing you can do to make your forgiveness any more real than it is right now. Now, we can tell Christians, listen to this, we can tell Christians that when we sin, you're quenching the spirit and you'll end up unfulfilled in your life. Okay? It's biblical. It's also biblical to tell Christians that when we sin, we can expect earthly consequences. When you sow to your flesh, you, the flesh reap corruption. Now, on the other point, the Bible tells us don't quench the spirit. If you do, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to live your best life. But to tell Christians that they're not forgiven until they meet some condition, that insults the blood of Jesus. Be sorry, yes. Be remorseful, yes. But understand that God operates on a blood-based economy. What pleases God is when we do what it says in Hebrews 13:15 and offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It's the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name.
Thank you for joining us today for the Living by Grace podcast. You are greatly blessed, highly favored, deeply loved, totally righteous, and destined to win because of Jesus. Have an amazing day.